Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Running Wild Podcast. I'm your co-host, Rich. Alongside me, as always, my co-host, Runs.
Yes, sir.
All right, so before we get started, I just want to remind you we're brought to you in partnership with PWPonderings.com, Last Word on ProWrestling.com, and the Wrestling to the Max Network. All right, so Hell in a Cell, what did you think overall?
I definitely enjoyed the show. There wasn't really much that I disliked on the card. I enjoyed the hell out of, no pun intended, all of the matches. So, I mean, all of the cell matches, you know. So, I'm fine with it. I like that the women went on last. I like the table spot and all that, which, you know, we'll get into when we discuss the matches. But, yeah, I definitely enjoyed it.
Yeah, I gotta say that I almost feel like the first time in a little bit, like, that felt like a pay-per-view.
Yeah, that was definitely... SmackDown's pay-per-views have been okay, but that was definitely the best pay-per-view in a while.
You know, it was a pay-per-view. Like, even if... It sounds weird. Even
but
if
like,
some of the matches have been bad, it would have been a pay-per-view.
That's because of the cells. Like, if there weren't three cell matches, you wouldn't feel that way. You know, like, if it was just... Because we've had literally these matches on other shows, and it hasn't been that way.
All right. Wait a minute. Are you trying to say that all these guys have fought each other already? Like, Kevin Owens has already fought Seth Rollins for the title? No, I mean, I agree. So quickly of the triple main event thing. Did you think they just, like, fully accidentally leaked out that, like, the women would be the main event, and then they did this to, like, cover up the fact that that was going to happen to make it more mysterious, or... Like,
no, I don't think he leaked anything. I think he saw the poster with them on it, and that was it. Like, he was like, oh, that's cool, they're the main event. And he just posted something that was wrong. And then because they only made the triple main event after the fact. So, you know, then they started talking about the triple main event and all of that. And I don't think they had a choice, really, after that to put them on blast. And, you know, I think I said it last week, but... Definitely off air. Like I think this should have been the main event. This was the most heated rivalry we've had, and I'm fine with that. It was the first time ever, you know. So the history was there. The storyline aspects were there, and you know they definitely delivered.
Yeah, I mean, the ending was a little like wonky, but other than that, I really enjoyed the Divas match. Oh, sorry, the women's match. Oh,
see, like I didn't even think the ending was wonky. Like, I just, the table was set up. Like, I didn't even think Sasha was supposed to go through it. Like, in my mind, it was just like, oh, okay, Charlotte's using that to hurt her more. Like, she rolled off it both times, and then, you know, natural selection, boom, done. So, in my mind, that was fine. Like, so, it didn't look like Charlotte was trying to put her through the table, you know? Like, if she was trying to put her through the table, like, she could have just picked her up the third time and body slammed her. Like, you know, I don't think that was the... I think that was the point. Like, she was just throwing her against it, and then she rolled perfectly into natural selection.
Oh. I never think of... I just thought those tables were, like, so easy to break that there's no way that this could occur.
The first one was rough. Like, the first one that the table just kind of collapsed. You know, that sucked. But whatever. It's okay. You know, that stuff happens. So it didn't take away from the match. It didn't really kill anything for me. It, you know, when that kind of stuff happens, it sucks, but it's like, okay, this is real. Like, this is not a fake thing, you know? This is not super... yes, I get it. It is. But, you know, when stuff like that happens, it's like, all right, well, this isn't completely gimmicked.
What did you think about Sasha winning in Boston?
She didn't win, so...
I mean, Charlotte winning in Boston.
I think we discussed it last week. Like, they started calling her Charlotte Flair. This was the first women's Hell in a Cell. You can never overlook Vince making someone lose in their hometown. I think they missed, you know, a big opportunity to have that moment for Sasha. But I don't know. I said to you afterwards, like, I like that the belt is going back and forth because it's like on any given night, they're at the same level, you know, and any given night someone else can win. So yes, now that has to change. Like, Sasha can't win the belt back, and I don't think we're going that way, but you know, I don't mind it. Charlotte is phenomenal.
Now I mean, I'm not sure what they're going to do next. It seems like it might be Bayley.
But then Nia kind of is in the way there, too, so.
Yeah, and the other thing about it is also, like, with Bayley, I mean, do you crush her if she doesn't win it?
I don't know what happens, because, like, she has to, all right, so she'll lose to Nia Jax, right, maybe get crushed, and then maybe they'll do, like, the whole Rocky thing, like, on NXT, she comes back, she beats her, and then she goes after Charlotte, and I think she wins. And maybe that'll be WrestleMania.
And what happens with Sasha along the way?
Your guess is as good as mine. Because she wasn't on Raw. I'm assuming she's the fifth person on that Divas tag, but God only knows.
They don't
have room for more than two women, you know? It's just still how it works.
So I guess I'll just jump into it because it ties into everything, and you just said about time, and it made me think of the fact that WWE felt that there was not enough time for the cruiserweights. So they're going to be adding a new program, WWE 205, which is all the wrestlers that are, you know, 205 pounds and below. So they're going to be featuring Cedric Alexander, Rich Swann, I think it's a Daivari, TJ Perkins, Brian Kendrick, and then it didn't say Gulak or Nice, which I thought was weird.
Well, because they're not under contract.
Okay, so they can't be guaranteeing them. All right. So what do you think about this new added hour? It's going to be supposedly after SmackDown. I'm not sure if they're taping it after SmackDown or before.
I just, before we jump into that, whatever. I mean, now that you mentioned it and everything, I like it. I'm a fan of it. It's like watching, you know, ROH or a better, a different version of NXT or, you know, a PWG or an Evolve or any of that, because these are the guys that were or currently are on those shows. So if you're going to give me 6-man tags every week on Raw, I don't want to see that. I would rather see, you know, Swan versus Gulak and Nice versus Alexander. I break it up and do something like that. And now you have time for more people. You have time to develop storylines. You have your championship because you have Kendrick. So you have all that. I think it's perfect. And them putting it right after SmackDown on the network is, in my mind, we can't throw in 10 to 15 cruiserweights. But now we put them basically on SmackDown and just give them their own hour. There we go. Perfect.
The only thing that's weird to me is, so now, are they going to be in both cities?
Some, I guess. Others, you know, like they, some weeks yes, some weeks no, and they could just tape something. They don't all have to be there every week, you know?
So then, all right. Would it be crazy that somehow, let's say, okay, the IC title, Ziggler has been now on Raw. And now I'm going really far with this. But Ziggler on Raw basically called, I mean, on SmackDown, called out a Raw superstar. What if the IC title goes to SmackDown? To Raw. And then SmackDown kind of complains and they get the cruiserweight. Can that happen?
I don't think the IC title will go to Raw. But, I mean, that would just be, like, they've already announced that it's on SmackDown. So, like, it would just be like, oh, well, duh. You already told us that.
Why have the cruiserweights on Raw if they're going to be on an hour, you know, like they're going to be taped. Like,
maybe they won't be, or maybe they'll just be one match or whatever.
Okay. I'm trying to like justify
like,
that.
They're wrestlers. Like they've wrestled on Friday and then a different place on Saturday. Like it's not, you know, that's what they do. Like that's what WWE did for the past 10 years.
No. It just seems a little weird. I think altogether to just not have them be part of SmackDown if they're going to be, you know, taping that same night and everything like that. That's all.
But why is it weird? Like it's a different show. Like they're having a separate show now. Like that's the whole point. Like they have so much time and they're so good and they have a championship that now we're giving them their own show. So like, yes, maybe people will show up every now and then, but I don't think it's necessary or even like whatever, you know, like John Cena and those guys wrestle dark matches on Raw all the time. Like they're there. They don't have to work.
When do you think they tape the matches? Is it
it's
live?
Live after SmackDown.
I mean, that's going to be tough on the crowd, I think.
Why?
You don't think that after 2 hours of wrestling, they're going to... I mean, after all SmackDown, you get the you get the ending of the show, and then, all right, now we're getting ready for this next one. I mean, I feel like Kendrick coming out, he was spot on as being heel at Hell in a Cell, and now we circled back. Yes. He was spot on. He was the mic work I thought was really good. I legitimately dislike him, and I know he's just working me, but I'm like, ah, I was so angry, and then I was like really upset that he did that to TJP in the ring, and that's how he won the title. And the crowd was pretty silent. Like, not booing him, just like, what? What's happening?
Yes, and that's part of the lack of character development, of storyline, of this and that. Like, you know, they threw these guys on TV. They have a minute-long backstage segment. It's, you know, muffled in with everything else. They have their quick three-minute match, and then that's it. Every week it's a six-man tag. Every week it's whatever. So now, you know, and the same applies for Baron Corbin or the club or you know, there are other guys who it's the same thing. When Rich Swann comes out, he gets huge pops. So does Cedric Alexander. And that's because more people know them. So now you're going to have an entire hour to push those guys and develop those characters and have meaningful segments and storylines so that when they show up on Raw and SmackDown, then they're more over and they're getting a better reaction instead of just going out there cold, doing their cruiserweight high-flying, fast-paced stuff, and moving on.
All right. My only argument against that is that I don't feel... Okay. So the people who are watching, let's say, NXT on the network, there, you know, when a guy leaves NXT sometimes and goes to the main roster, the larger arenas seem to be uninterested or uninformed in some ways. Do you think that the person who doesn't know the Cruiserweights now is going to be watching that show? Because I think that's more for me and you, or people like me and you.
I think a lot of people watch the Cruiserweight Classic, and I think that helped some of these guys, and... Like, definitely Cedric Alexander. I think that whole Triple H thing benefited him because I don't really know any other reason why he's getting huge reactions other than people know him and they know that and they know, you know, it was a big deal when he got signed and there was a lot of whatever. So I think if you have SmackDown and during that two-hour broadcast you're pushing that, you know, at the end of SmackDown on the network, we're going to have the Cruiserweight Classic, blah, blah, blah. Not the Cruiserweight Classic, WWE 205. I think that gets people in. And I think if you're watching so let's say you're watching Raw and you see Brian Kendrick and TJP. That's going to make you say, like, oh, shit, these guys have their own show? Yeah, maybe I'll check that out. And then you do. But, you know, I get what you're saying because not everyone from NXT comes up and is super popular. So it's the same kind of a thing. But it has helped others. So it goes both ways, you know? There are certain people who are a niche, but I think these guys performing in front of the 20,000 people that are there for SmackDown will benefit because, you know, they're in there. Like, it's the same thing with Raw, you know? You mentioned, like, the 2 hours and then the Cruiserweight, but that's Raw every week. It's 3 hours. So I don't think people are going to be burned out because, like, they're not going to both. And if they are, they know what they're getting themselves into.
All right. Well, I honestly hope you're right. I'm scared to get too excited. Like, I saw it, and to be honest, I was thrilled to hear that they were going to do something like this. I've been wanting this. But at the same time, I'm just worried that it won't be well-received and that it'll kind of bury the division a little bit more than it has been already.
I don't see how it's possible because when they're wrestling, the crowd is into it. You know, it's just like when they do the high spots and that kind of thing, the crowd always reacts. And some guys are more charismatic or entertaining than others. But you know, that's part of the other thing, I think, is that TJP is good, but his character-wise, he's not the best. You know, like, he has a natural charisma, but, like, his... I can't. It's not showmanship, but like his presence. He doesn't have that presence, that superstar presence. And when Brian Kendrick is out there, he feels like a superstar. TJP feels like a guy who's a good wrestler and he's there. So I think that kind of a character is extremely difficult for the crowd to get behind when they don't have any build behind it.
Wow. All right. Well, I don't know. I can't really agree with you there. I really enjoy TJP's stuff. He plays video games, man. Like that, he's got a like personality. I don't
absolutely
know.
He doesn't have a personality because he plays video games. Like what what is his personality? What has he done that's been anything other than like a monotonous kind of promo? Like
but
the
why
backstage
is he
stuff
different than let's say Daniel Bryan? Like
he's that
small guy who is really good in the ring and he's got a good look. And I think that he's just a really good wrestler. You know?
I'll tell you the difference between him and Brian is that Brian was the top guy on the indies. TJ Perkins was never on that level. And so more people knew Brian. So when he came in, he had so much fanfare behind him that it was impossible. And at the beginning, it was a struggle. He wasn't that over. And with the U.S. title run and that kind of a thing, it wasn't anything. And it was only when he started to get the yes and all that stuff rolling and he started to show more charisma other than just the natural side, he started to have more showmanship and more play with the crowd and that sort of a thing. That's what engages people. TJP doesn't have that part yet. And that's okay because he's just getting to this stage. So that's fine, but he needs to find that at some point.
All right. Wow. You learn new things about your friends every week.
I like TJP. I really do. But I don't think you can deny the lack of in-ring presence. Or he doesn't play to the crowd. He doesn't do anything to get the crowd more involved. He just wrestles. And that's okay. But that's part of the reason why the crowd isn't into those matches.
You know what he does?
Because they can't fully care about him.
He daps people up, bro. All right? Can't believe it. Has Brian Kendrick ever dapped you up after a match?
I've never seen Brian Kendrick, so no.
All right, but the answer is no. Has TJP ever dapped you up after a match?
Sure.
All right. Case closed. All right.
I don't think that shows any charisma, but all right.
So, yeah. So we had a lot to think. We have obviously a lot to say about the Cruiserweights. All right. Just want to take a moment to acknowledge one of our sponsors. So podcast advertising is one of the most engaging types of digital advertising. Cast.market makes it easy to advertise on podcasts. So if you sign up and you try the campaign creator today, you target quality shows specific to your product or service, and you enter our podcast code, which is Running Wild, and our show will automatically be included and site fees will be waived. So go to http://cast.market today. You can probably just type in cast.market and it'll work just as well. All right. What did you think about the ending to this the tag match? Cesaro and Sheamus versus...
Sheamus, what, hit Cesaro, right?
Sheamus grabbed the... what's her name?
Francesca
Two. And was seen hitting, I think, Kofi or something?
Yeah. And then Kofi came in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it... Okay, here's another thing. Why was Kofi Kingston, who was, you know, somewhat from Boston, why was he the guy not wrestling? That I don't quite understand. Like, usually it's his hometown. He's the guy wrestling. Like, they talked about that. On whatever, something I watched of New Day.
Yeah.
Where, like, you know, oh, we'll rotate, and if it's someone's hometown and they got their boys there, whatever, well, they'll usually wrestle. But I was kind of surprised to see Kofi because, in my mind, he's the best wrestler of those guys. And usually on pay per view, it's him and Big E, and maybe we wanted to switch that up, but I don't know. It was strange. And then, especially when Francesco was involved, why wouldn't he have taken that from Xavier Woods on the outside? And Xavier Woods got mad. So, you know, it was strange. But I don't know. I'm not mad. It was what it was. It made sense, I guess.
Yeah, just where do they... So now are Sheamus and Cesaro going to engage in a best of nine?
Ugh. Yeah, what do they do? Because now they're already teasing the tension and that. So maybe we get a loser leaves town match. Like, all right, this is it. I can't deal with you guys anymore. This is it. One last time, and then the loser goes to SmackDown. That's it. And then clearly Cesaro loses and goes to SmackDown.
Oh, you can't even do that. It just feels like the punishment is that you have to go to SmackDown. That's a terrible message.
Well, so do the loser leaves town. No problem. The loser is fired. And then he just gets hired by SmackDown. Like, you know, you don't have to say it.
Okay.
And then once Cesaro gets to SmackDown, he'll be in a good spot, so people won't care anyway. He'll have a vengeance against Raw, and you can go with that.
I don't disagree with you on that one. So then you also had Bayley and Dana. We're not going to spend too much time on that.
He literally won't spend any time on
that. Okay, so that was it. Moving on, you did have the kickoff, the cruiserweights. Which...
I mean, like, nothing else matters other than the two-cell match. Like, there's, you know.
All right.
The club beat End Zone Cast. That's great. The six cruiserweights was fun. No problem. The baby faces won like we thought. You know, the cell matches were what made this important, and they were all really, really good. So that's what made this feel so much bigger.
Did you feel like Jericho was in there for too long?
No, it was great. I enjoyed it. I liked, because it was broken up. Like, you know, he wasn't just in there killing Rollins the whole time. He was in there, then he was running around, then he was getting beat up, then he was locked in a cage and blah, blah, blah. Like, so it was okay. Then he took the ref out. Then they got down to business. I liked that table spot where they had the slanted table above the setup table and Owens went right through. I thought that was cool. I never seen that before, so that was nice. They had a really good match, and I think we said maybe Triple H gets involved, but so we knew something was going to happen. Now, I'm fine with it being Jericho. It adds to the storyline, but, you know, eventually Kevin Owens has to get some clean wins.
Huh. That would be nice. No, I agree. I really enjoyed this match. I kind of was hoping for, I don't know why, maybe I thought I was going to see a crazier bump in this one, but, I mean, the table spot was really good, but I just thought I'd see something on top of that.
Well, because you can't, you know, they were doing that in the main event, so.
Yeah, no, you're right, but that's a problem. That's also why I don't think they even should have had three. But that's
exactly that's a conversation for another time.
And then you had Rusev taking on Roman Reigns. I mean, I liked the image of Rusev locking in the accolade with the chain.
I can't believe he didn't win with that.
Like, exactly.
I thought that was it. I was like, yo, he's on the stairs. He has the chain in his mouth. This is fantastic. And I was like, all right, just pass out. Just pass out. You're not going to tap out. Just pass out. Done. We're all good. And, you know, whatever. I like that spear. That was cool. It was a great brawl. I really like watching these two guys work. I think they have a great chemistry. I've enjoyed Rusev. I've enjoyed Reigns' work here. I'm fine with Reigns winning. It was a great match. Let's move on. Where do they go from here? I don't know. But thank God we have Survivor Series, because we don't have to decide that for 2 months.
Yeah, it seems like everything's going to kind of go on a hiatus slightly.
But, you know, yeah, slightly I agree with that, because they're all on the Survivor Series team together, so shit will pop off.
All right, so that's the card. Moving into Raw, first of all, the worst thing on the show was that god-awful Halloween match between...
Right before we get to Raw.
Oh, sorry.
Raw talk. Please just fast forward to, I think it's 29 minutes, and just watch the last 12 minutes of Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho, because it is some of the funniest TV you will see all year. I've watched it, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 times. Like, I told John to watch it, and, like, he was dying the entire time. And it's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. They don't care. They just do whatever they want. They say whatever they want. It was awesome.
Booker T was uncomfortably honest with Brian Kendrick. Like, it's
like Booker T. Like, he's really weird. I don't know what to do. He's too fake. And then, like, in character, I felt like he was shitting on Kendrick. It's really weird. I don't know how to judge it.
Yeah, I don't know. I actually kind of felt like it was real. Like, he was just like, you're nobody, son.
Yeah, like, when I say in character, it, just, like, I mean the voice and like, how he portrays himself on TV, you know? Like, he was being Booker T and just kind of just taking shots at him. Like, oh, you're not on Booker T's level. But, like, what the hell? But that's what they do on Talking Smack, too. Like, they push each other's buttons. So, hey, that makes for good TV sometimes. And it was. It was enjoyable. I don't like watching Booker T. But the final 10 minutes made it all worthwhile.
No, Jericho and Owens were absurd. And I actually did enjoy talking Raw. But I wish they had something better. Or was it Raw Talk? Talking Raw? I don't even know.
Raw Talk. Like, it was hilarious when Kevin Owens sits down. Like, he looks at the logo. He's like, oh, is that the symbol for Wi-Fi? Like, what? They just shit all over it. Like, thanks. Great job.
No, that was great. So I thought Raw was, I don't know. I'm not gonna like complain every week, but that Halloween match, it's just insulting. Just him pulling out Gallows pulling out the guts of the pumpkin and putting it in the face of Enzo. It felt like a really bad match from the Attitude Era, like some sort of ridiculous nonsense, and I really disliked it, and it really turned me off to the show when that was on.
Going into Raw, I expected, like, I was worried this would be the whole, like, I thought the whole show was going to be some type of Halloween theme, and I was pretty worried. But I kind of enjoyed Raw. I didn't like that match, but I didn't mind it. Like, whatever, it's Halloween, I get it. I'm glad this is all we're getting and not anything more. Whatever. I just took it for what it was. I didn't really care. I took the weapons and the going through a table and that kind of stuff as just, all right, that was fun. Let's move on and never do this again. So I didn't even really get any emotion behind it. I just took it for what it was.
How can you explain if a guy is, and this is a shoot, if R-Truth is scared of cats? Okay, we've seen this on Total Divas. How do you get this?
We know how real Total Divas is, but continue.
But I still believe. What was he scared of on TV? Spiders? Barry, yeah. Because that's more normal. Like, I'm scared of spiders. I get that. But the cats thing, I believe. And the fact that the skit on Monday where him and Goldust are walking through the haunted house. Did you see that?
I saw it, yes, where he was freaking out and everyone was jumping at him, yeah.
I mean, wow. How?
But that's what these guys do. Like, you like R-Truth because he's a clown. So when he does clown things, you can't be mad.
Okay, but why are they not at Raw? It's their job.
Because it was Halloween. They were trick-or-treating.
So they get the night off, but every other guy has to wrestle?
Nah, the cameraman was there. It was a Raw sponsored haunted house, you know?
Oh man, you must be on the McMahon payroll again.
The cameraman was there. Like, you can't say they weren't on Raw or like involved with Raw. Clearly, there was a Raw cameraman. Like, they, you know.
I will no longer argue the point with you. all right. So with that stuff out of the way, I don't know. I guess I enjoyed the rest of it, but at the same time, I didn't like TJP, for example, getting the title shot right away and not winning, you know, and having Kendrick roll out. Like, why can't you stretch that out? Why do you do it the next night? So now he loses. He looks like a fool two nights in a row.
I don't think he looked like a fool either night, really. Like, you know, that was just he fell prey to Kendrick, and then the next night Kendrick walked out. I don't think he looks like a fool because Kendrick got counted out. I like that because, you know, Kendrick went to get back in, and then he's like, nah. And step back out. I thought that was good, you know, heel work from Kendrick. I really enjoyed that.
All right. I'm trying to think of what else.
Yeah, the Heyman and Goldberg segment.
Oh,
and yeah. Then Rusev getting Jackhammer and Spear and Heyman. I thought that was okay. I enjoyed it. You know, like I, when Goldberg fell, I was like, oh, damn. But, you know, hey, that should happen to everyone. So I don't even think about it twice.
Well, that didn't bother me. I just, I find it interesting that you would use Rusev. And this is like not this. This is not the first time it's happened to Rusev, right? Remember when The Rock came back
with Lana?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So it seems like so there's a part timer coming back. Let's send out Rusev, like
because he's one of the best heels in the company, and he's guaranteed to be booed. Like Kevin Owens gets cheered, but Rusev gets booed all the time because he's not American.
But
so when you send him out there to Goldberg or to The Rock, that's going to get their pop even bigger. They're going to be hyped for America, and they're shitting on Rusev. And, you know, Rusev is a big guy, so he's intimidating. And, you know, I don't know. Do you really put, like, much weight behind those kind of things?
No, I just mean you could have given Goldberg someone easier to jackhammer.
Well, the jackhammer wasn't the problem.
It's funny because he didn't do the Goldberg.
They could
up.
Have given him like yeah, but who's going to come out there? Like for example, Sami Zayn like is he can hold up Sami Zayn for an hour and a half, but that's not like is the crowd going to pop for something like that?
Like, I don't know.
You know, you would be angry that Goldberg was picking on Jamie Noble or someone smaller. You know. Like, oh, pick on someone your own size, you freak. Like, 100%.
Yeah, I guess I'm just not... Forget Goldberg, man. Goldberg. You know what he did? All right? He basically ruined Steve Mongo McMichael's career. I was very upset.
I think Mongo McMichael ruined Mongo McMichael's career, but that's all right.
He's one of my favorite horsemen ever. He's one of my favorite fourth horsemen. Yeah, that's what I'll say. Not, like, obviously not top two, but... Out of, like, the guys who rotated at number four,
yeah.
I'm a big fan of Mongo.
The guys who didn't ever really, like, matter.
I really like that guy. All right, anyway.
He was a good horseman. He fit in well.
He was so obnoxious with the Halliburton. All right, so Braun Strowman, you know, gets a little angry backstage with Mick Foley, finds out that he's in a battle royal with... I can't name
first spot on Team SmackDown.
Yeah, first spot on Team Raw, and predictably he runs through everybody and wins.
At first I was like, oh, well, maybe it's a battle royal. He can get eliminated, and he doesn't really lose, and then he flips out. But, like, that would be stupid to not have him on Team Raw. Like, that's, you know, he's the perfect guy to be on that team.
What's going to happen to – so who's the last member?
Of Raw?
We have Braun Strowman.
Rollins, I would – assume.
So it's it'll be Rollins, Reigns, Jericho, Owens, and Strowman.
Yeah.
What happens to Sami Zayn?
Nothing. As has been happening the past 4 months.
He's not on the card?
When's the last pay-per-view he's been on?
I mean, that's a difficult question to ask.
Exactly, because he hasn't been on the last three.
He was on SmackDown, wasn't he? Didn't he team with Neville?
He was on SmackDown? No, he wasn't on SmackDown.
Not SmackDown. SummerSlam.
Yeah, he was on the pre-show in the first match.
Oh, that's unfortunate. All right.
So, I mean, I'm sure he could be on the pre-show for this one, too. But he's in a weird spot because where are they putting him? You know, like he would fit in perfectly with Kevin Owens, but you can't do that right now. You can't do it again. So... what's going to happen? I don't. They have a babyface mid-card champion now. What's he going to do? Maybe when they clear out the cruiserweight, so he'll have an extra 10, 15 minutes to fill with someone, but I don't know.
I guess he could team with Neville again?
I'd rather, like, not see him than team with Neville. I don't know. Is that just me? Like, do you agree with that? Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like it would be a worse spot to be in to team with Neville than not be on TV.
Well,
I don't know. I could be wrong with that one, though.
They're gear matches. It was kind of like last night. I was playing WWE Universe mode with my created character, and suddenly I was in a match, and my tag team partner was AJ Styles, and I was like, ah, that's weird. And then I noticed that our attire matched perfectly, and I was like, this is like a tag team. I like this. So, anyway, but I don't know. I want Sami Zayn to be doing something. Maybe he
agreed.
Maybe he comes out and he costs Braun Strowman the match. Like he get, like Braun Strowman gets eliminated because
he can get involved.
He leaves after like he goes to chase Sami.
He leaves, and as I'm watching Survivor Series 1990 right now,
yeah.
Corey Graves hits us with the he may be scary, he may be big, but he's dumb, and that's it. We move on.
That's fantastic. What a perfect reference.
Thankfully, I'm watching it right now. But yep.
Then I guess the other big thing we had Reigns taking on Jericho. They had some words earlier, and Jericho got in his face, and then he sold it really well. And then at the end of the night, you had them facing off in the main event, and Kevin Owens runs out to help Jericho. And then Seth Rollins runs out to even the odds, and you get left with Seth and Roman uneasily staring at each other.
Yeah, I really like that whole storyline, that whole segment on Raw, that match. I was really into it because part of me believed Jericho could win, and you have Owens and Jericho as the two-man power trip and that sort of a thing, and they just roll with it. So I thought that could have happened. Reigns doesn't need it, but that's fine. I'm not against it. So I enjoyed the match. Yes, it was very obvious Rollins was the guy who was coming out to save Reigns, and it was cool. It was like, oh shit, this is all right. These guys hate each other's guts. This is interesting. Now let's see what happens. So I like that. It's always fun when there's some tension on both sides and that sort of thing. So if Rollins gets added to that match, then that Survivor Series team should be pretty awesome. But I still think they're losing.
Is there a possibility that you think that Rollins will, challenge for the United States Championship?
Why?
Well, I mean, if they're fighting, wouldn't eventually the belt be put on the line?
Who's fighting?
Rollins and Reigns.
Why are they fighting? He came out to save him.
You think they're going to just get along now?
Yeah, they're both baby faces. That's just how it goes. We tried to kill each other 4 days ago, but now we're both good guys, so hey, everything's okay.
But to
your point, I liked what they were like, that they just stared at each other, that they weren't like, hey, buddy, what's up, man? They were just kind of like, wait a minute, you saved me? What the fuck? So I like that.
It just kind of reminds me, I see what happening to them, what happened to Hogan Warrior, where neither guy became the heel, but there was some miscommunication in matches that led to them, wanting to fight each other.
At some point, eventually, I'm sure we can go down that road, but I think it would also be Reigns, maybe making that turn this time, but I don't think there's any need to do that anytime soon. You just turned Rollins, so you're not going to have him feud with another babyface, and I don't think he would win the U.S. title. So unless it's, some type of four-way, and then we get an interaction there, then that's different. But I think for now, we'll just have them in some tag team matches, and they'll steer clear of each other. I don't think they're going to be buddy-buddy backstage and all that. I think it'll just be, they have a common enemy.
All right. So then we had SmackDown. You had James Ellsworth.
When she said that, man, I was just like, you got to be kidding me. I get it. He's a jobber. And he's the most important thing on SmackDown right now. That's crazy to say.
I just think my issue with it, and I feel bad. I really do. It's just also like you're not on TV a lot. So this is an opportunity,
Yeah, you prepared for this. You had to read something over right before you went on.
She went blank. And you could see it in her eyes. There was just one moment where before she said James Ellis, she was just like, oh. I think it was impressive almost that she could have pulled out James, because she blanked so hard you could see it happen. And that's just...
I think this is like her. I mean, she's definitely new. This is her second or third week on. So, hey, whatever. But then I thought Dean Ambrose, I guess, I don't know if that would bury her, but I thought Dean Ambrose was going to be like, James Ellis, who the hell is James Ellis?
And but then he said, well, he even, but yeah, even by saying did, Ellsworth, yeah. Ellsworth, like, that's still, don't you think that's still, like, tantamount to pointing it out?
It's better than saying, who the hell is James Ellis? Because, you know, yeah, then that better. Really kills it. But
oh, it's better.
This way he just kind of ignored it and was like, Ellsworth. And so hopefully she got that point.
I just hope that it doesn't affect her future opportunities, because that was just rough.
If Mike Adam Lee had a job for as long as he did, I think she'll be fine.
I legitimately, legitimately miss Mike Adamale. Adam Lee original. I really enjoyed his time.
You're making me crazy.
I can't really express to you guys how much I would be so happy if he were back. Didn't he come back during the GM search?
Yeah.
And it made me sad because I realized that means he's not going to be the GM. Like his ineptitude was so amazing that it made me like him that much more. But anyway, so the rest of SmackDown, I thought it was pretty good. I mean, it wasn't anything to write home about. You know, Ellsworth got carried out at the end because he wanted to come to ringside. Ambrose was able to beat AJ in a really good match, I thought.
Yeah, the second week in a row that they had me convinced Ellsworth was going to turn. So, you know, that was good. I enjoyed the backstage stuff leading up to it. You knew he was going to find his way out there. Luckily, this time it helped Ambrose. I thought it was good. Like you said, the match was really good. These guys definitely have some good chemistry in the ring. And, you know, on Talking Smack, they announced a TLC match at the TLC pay-per-view. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I really... One of the things I thought when I was watching it is that James Ellsworth... It's weird because it was so over-the-top apologetic... You know, that it really did seem like they were setting him up for the turn.
I like, during the backstage stuff, I was like, wait a minute. Like, did they leave the camera on him too long? Like, did somebody just wait too long to talk? Because all he kept saying was like, I'm sorry, Dean. I'm sorry. I don't know what else to say. I'm sorry. So then stop saying it. And you don't know how many times you're going to say, I don't know what else to say. I'm sorry.
And I know we have to just buy into this stuff. But it annoys me when there's an angle like this. But they've done this before with Stephanie and Hunter, right? Like, it's like they don't communicate the entire week. You didn't try to get in touch with them before this? Like, you messed up last week, bro. Like, if somebody waited 7 days to apologize for something that they felt that, you know, was a big deal, it would invalidate that apology for me.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, Stephanie Triple H is a little more extreme because, like, clearly they live together. But, you know, like, I would like to think that Ellsworth doesn't have Dean Ambrose's phone number. And, like, he couldn't communicate to him, you know. Maybe he did reach out to him on Twitter. I don't know. But, you know, it's fine because he's such a lovable, just, like, loser, you know.
I just picture Triple H leaving early to go to Raw and... Right before as he leaves the house and he pulls out of the driveway, Stephanie's like, damn it, I forgot I was angry at him about this thing from last week on Raw. And then walks into Raw angry because, you know, that's when she finally remembered. It's just, I wish they get so close to reality now that I just wish some of that stuff was, it's just a little tweak they can make. It just seems like, you know, even if he said something like, I've been trying to reach you all week, Dean. You know, you didn't answer any of my calls.
I don't know. He might have said something along those lines.
I do have a hard time listening to him because I just want to punch him in the face. So, all right. What else did we get? We got
Naomi got added to the team. Natalya is the coach, which is, you know, whatever. That's fine. It'll add for some nice little backstage stuff for her, like, trying to train them and them just not giving a crap. Stuff like that.
Does that make Natalya cost them the match?
I think so. Charlotte is winning this, in my opinion. Her and maybe Nia will be the last two standing, and that'll be it. But, you know, I think the Raw women win, and I think the SmackDown men win. So I don't know how the tag teams go down, but I guess we'll see.
What do you think about Natalya's odd random quotation of stuff?
It's hilarious, man. I think that's so funny that she's just singing 90s or 80s R&B songs or whatever the hell, like Whitney Houston and Janet Jackson, whoever. And then she's like, oh, follow my cat on Twitter, by the way, giving people shirts. It's so over the top and terrible that it's funny.
Yeah. No, I couldn't get over it. I was like, what is she doing? So I hope it continues because I'm really...
It is funny because she goes on too. Like, she sings the whole thing and like Shane and Daniel have such good reactions. Like, oh God. So it's funny because, you know, everyone has that person in their life that like won't leave them alone or they just find annoying, whatever. And that's the role that Natty's playing. And I've always found her to be that annoying character to me. So it works.
What is Shane's budget on that 3-button shirt that he wears every week under a blazer?
I hardly pay attention to wardrobes.
It's the same thing every week. All right. Maybe a different color. It bothers me. All right. Yeah. So aside from that, was there anything else on SmackDown? I think American Alpha came back, right?
Yeah, I think they fought.
And they qualified for the tag team match.
Someone and they won, and the Usos qualified, and I think the Hype Bros qualified. There's one spot left. And I literally don't think there are any other teams on SmackDown. So I'm thinking the Revival or something like that.
Oh.
I think they said they're going to have a match on Tuesday. Okay. So I don't know. I guess we'll find out then. But seriously, like, it's Slater and Rhino. It's the Usos, Alpha, and the Hype Bros. So they all beat a team to qualify. Like the Spirit Squad, the Headbangers, the Ascension, and
probably the Vaudevillains.
Yeah, the Vaudevillains. So who else is left on? There's literally no one, right? Like, there are no other teams on SmackDown. Like, that's not even like a joke or being funny. That's a fact. So I don't know what they do. Do they bring up a team from NXT? I think that would be pretty cool, and I think throwing the Revival in there to play with the Ascension works.
I mean, it's fair. Right? You know, SmackDown has a smaller roster. So, you know, let them grab a team from NXT.
And it's a tag team. It's not like they're calling up Nakamura or Joe. So, like, you can't even be like, oh, no, we need that guy on Raw.
Oh, no, yeah.
The freaking Revival. They'll be perfect on SmackDown. And I think that opens the door for, like, them to win the titles. And then Alpha have to chase them again. And you bring up all that NXT stuff. I think that could be good. You know, maybe they're announced for the team. Maybe they're the last one standing. And we go from there or something like that.
All right. Anything else WWE-wise we need to cover?
Not that I'm aware of.
All right. I don't think there's any... Well, other than Austin Aries getting his eye busted open by Nakamura.
Obliterated. I think that was last week, but still. Yeah. Well, and now he's out for 4 to 6 months, right?
Yeah, it's going to be bad.
Roddy lost this. Like, and Roderick lost a singles match to Shane Thorne. Why couldn't he just... Like, he's a new guy, so he doesn't have any friends. Like, just let him find someone else and just... Have them losing a tag match or something.
I don't really understand.
It sucks because, so you had the Revival forfeit their chance, right? Like, you know, all storyline, blah, blah, blah. And then you had Aries have to drop out. You had Itami have to drop out. So that caused him and Ibushi. Like, the three teams that, you know, people said could win this are all out of it. And, you know, that's kind of crazy.
It'll be interesting, but, I mean, at least it'll be nice to see them making someone different, you know?
I'm hoping, you know, I think we're both hoping for Gargano and Ciampa, so hopefully now this opens the door for them to get in there.
I want it to happen so bad so that Ciampa can eventually turn on him and go, you're right, I have to do it myself.
Just kill him at the trophy celebration, you know? Like, just do something like that.
I'd be so angry but happy at the same time.
Yeah, I think it would be great.
Because I want it to happen. All right, Ring of Honor this week. It just felt like they're trying to make it. You know, it was one of the tapings from over a month ago, which is, you know, they structured it fine. It was just that week that was going to be a little bit less interesting, I suppose. You have, you know, Adam Page is going after Bobby Fish, and Cole's been attacking Kyle O'Reilly. Page has been kind of doing Cole's dirty work. So they ended up clashing in the main event. It was Red Dragon versus the Bullet Club. So they're just kind of like continuing this angle. Paige is challenging for the TV title, so there, you know, there's a chance that the Bullet Club could have all the titles. So it wasn't like a big deal altogether. You have they're continuing the angle with Kevin Sullivan and Carino and Whitmer and all this creepy stuff. Now there's this weird name, Bozar Bukan, that they're asking for, and Carino says he's dead, so it's gone. So it's probably like some alternate name he had, like persona, that they're trying to like get to bring back. So, you know, that storyline's been continuing. You know,
and Whitmer got suspended, right?
What? Whitmer?
Yeah, he got suspended, I think, for 30 days for, like, contacting an official or, like, you know, roughing up an official.
Yeah, they lost to Cheeseburger and Will Ferrara because Carino's music hit and he never came out, and it distracted them. So Cheeseburger rolled up, I believe, Whitmer. And then they decimated those guys, and then a bunch of security ran to the ring, and they got attacked.
Yeah, so this is just a good way to prolong it another week or two.
In the history of wrestling, by the way, has a heel ever attacked a face after the match and then heard the bell ringing and decided, like, oh, I better stop now?
No.
Because I don't get the purpose of ringing the bell. Is it to remind the guy the match is over? He clearly knows.
It's just trying to make him stop, I guess. What are they going to do? Like, hey, cut it out. I guess they're just trying to save their voice.
It frustrates me so much. And as we tape right now, Ring of Honor should be beginning their Survival of the Fittest two-night event. So it's tonight, a Thursday, and Friday. So by the time you guys hear this Saturday, it'll already have happened, but we'll be covering that next week.
Yep.
Anything else?
Since everyone will be listening to this on Saturday, I hope everyone enjoyed watching the historic performance from the NFL game tonight by Julio Jones, putting up 500 yards and 4 touchdowns. You know, that was pretty crazy to watch. It was definitely enjoyable, and I'm sure you appreciated it going up against him in fantasy this week. So, you know, that's great.
I want to thank Devonta Freeman.
For doing nothing? Yeah, I know. It sucks that he got hurt in the first quarter. It's really bad.
By the way, if this comes out and that happens...
Did you see the tweet yesterday that was going around that it was somebody made it in 2014? They said 2016 World Series, Indians, Cubs, and then the world ends in extra innings when the game is tied. And, you know, extra innings, game tied,
scary
rainstorm. Like, it was crazy, man. It was crazy.
Yo, Back to the Future was only off by 1 year.
It's nuts. It really is nuts.
I'm going to throw this at you, and I know this is a little convoluted, but whatever. So, in Back to the Future 2...
Sorry for divulging off wrestling, but
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, whatever. By this point,
they
can just turn it off if they want. they can stop it. I do that sometimes, I'm not going to lie. So, in Back to the Future 2... It said Cubs versus Miami.
Yep.
Right? Now, obviously, this wasn't Cubs versus Miami. However, if you've ever watched Major League, you know that the owner was trying to make them lose so much that they would be able to get out of their lease with the stadium and move to Miami.
What came out first?
Back to the Future came out first, and then it was, I believe, Major League. So, wow.
Interesting.
Just a little food for thought.
Again, for the non-wrestling people here, that game yesterday, I don't know if you caught any of it, but I put it on about the 7th inning, stayed up till 1 o'clock in the morning because...
Yeah, me too.
When else would we ever, you know...
Never again.
You know what I mean? It's 108 years. I don't care how tired I was this morning or today. It's... You know, it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I wrote on the Twitter last night, like, I wish, you know, life would understand, like, that this is what's going on right now. Because it just needed to be canceled today. Like, everything... Hey, guys, The Cubs won the World Series. Forget about life tomorrow. Just everyone hang out, stay home, enjoy it.
We have a special press conference with Mayor de Blasio. Hi, everybody. Because of the
amazing victory. Yo, could you imagine Obama?
Victory.
Obama's from Chicago, isn't he?
Yeah, Obama.
Oh, he's a White Sox fan. Damn.
But imagine de Blasio's like, all DOE public schools are closed today in celebration and remembrance of the Cubs' victory.
Jesus. That's what should have happened. I mean, when I'm in charge one day, that's 100% what I'm doing.
All right.
Hey, listen, the Super Bowl's on today. Nah, work is canceled tomorrow.
If the Cubs can win the World Series, Sami Zayn can be WWE champion.
Think about, like, the Cleveland Cavaliers won the World, the NBA championship. The Cubs won the World Series. The Raiders are 6-2. What's going on in the world? It's just chaos. You know, people are showing up from all over the place on WWE TV. It's been a wild year of wrestling, and it's just trickled over everywhere. We won't even get into the political stuff because that's a shit show in itself. But, you know, it's what a year.
Such a year that this might just continue. I might have to go to Atlanta to go watch Ring of Honor at the legendary center stage.
That might be one of the craziest parts of, like, this year. That's just absurd.
That's not a lie, ladies and gentlemen.
Who goes to Atlanta, one? Who goes anywhere to watch Ring of Honor, two? that's not true.
Come on.
That was a stretch. But, I don't know. Traveling four or five states, that's... Like, I wouldn't... I would barely do that for WrestleMania. Like, I don't know.
Oh, I mean, there's nothing more exciting for me to go to a city that I know that I would never have any business going to unless I'm going to watch wrestling.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's a cool journey. It'd be much better if you were going to, like, Idaho.
Well, nobody randomly picks going to Windsor, Ontario, Canada to go, you know, hang out in the Detroit area unless you're going to WrestleMania. So it's fine. It's completely fine. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, with all that out of the way, thank you for still listening. If anyone is still there, please go over to our iTunes, leave a comment. You can subscribe as well so you always have the podcast downloaded. You can also follow us on SoundCloud. Send us an email at runningwildpodcast@gmail.com. Visit our brand new spanking website, runningwildpodcast.com.
It's a brand new spanking website?
Well, no. Brand spanking new. Like, that's a phrase. People say that.
Yeah, but you said we visit our brand new spanking website.
I did it. I said it backwards. So, that's excellent.
Yeah, so
I'm not editing this out. I don't even care anymore.
I don't know if people are into that kind of thing, but apparently we have a website for spank fetishes. Yeah, yeah. I had nothing to do with this website. It was all my co-host. So yeah, Running Wild Spank Fest, I guess, is the site. I'm really not sure.
There's no spanking. I said it wrong. All right.
That makes a lot more sense.
Excellent.
Not a spanking website. It's a brand spanking new website.
And I think this is appropriate here. So you can follow us on Twitter at RunningWildLWOS. All the good tweets are obviously going to be from runs. And all the tweets about spanking will be from me. You can follow me at Rich_Laconi on Twitter and check out my articles over at pwponderings.com as well as lastwordonprowrestling.com. And with that, I just want to remind you that you've been listening to the podcast that is just too spanky.
Julio!